Northridge, Los Angeles, KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, member-supported public radio. Voted Station of the Year by our peers in American Public Music Radio.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
I step off the train, I'm walking down your street again, and past your
Happy 65th birthday, Madge, Madonna, and Lucky Star on She Rose. Her birthday is Wednesday, August 16th. And Rami of the XX off her upcoming solo debut, Mid-Air, we heard Strong. Check out our recent Pride Hour special with Rami on the She Rose podcast. Also looking forward to bringing you another interview with her for release week of her album in just a few weeks' time. And with that, I welcome you to She Rose Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is great to see you, as always. And for the next hour, we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation. This week, our featured interview is with Nico Case, who we caught up with live at this year's Newport Folk Festival. So stay tuned for that. But right now, sending birthday wishes to Phoebe Bridgers, born August 17th, 1994. Here she is with Boy Genius.
Had a bad
Newcomer Hannah Jadagu and Lose on She Rose Radio and Boy Genius with Me and My Dog from this year's full-length debut, The Record, wishing Phoebe Bridgers a very happy 29th birthday on August 17th. I'm Carmel Holt, and next, it's a She Rose live conversation with Nico Case at Newport Folk Festival. Stay with me.
Discover public radio in Southern California. Discover 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
Support comes from South Coast Botanic Garden, presenting Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea, featuring 16 large sculptures made entirely of ocean trash, highlighting the need for eco-friendly solutions. South Coast Botanic Garden is located on the beautiful Palos Verdes Peninsula, atop a former landfill, so this Washed Ashore exhibit just makes sense. Now through September and open to all with garden admission. More info is at southcoastbotanicgarden.org.
Support for 88.5 The SoCal Sound is made possible by Subaru of Glendale. The Subaru Forester and Outback are ready for all of your summer adventures. At the core of Subaru of Glendale's business is their focus and attention on caring for customers, employees, and the community. In the service department, factory-trained technicians use specialized tools and genuine Subaru parts. Located on Brand Boulevard, just off the 5 and 134 freeways. Information available at SubaruofGlendale.com. That's SubaruofGlendale.com.
The SoCal Sound is excited to tell you about our partnerships with the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank and Second Harvest Food Bank in Orange County. When subscribing to the SoCal Sound with $10 or $20 monthly, rather than taking a thank you gift, you can opt to help provide meals for people who struggle with food insecurities. Please support the SoCal Sound and help others in need through the LA Regional Food Bank or Second Harvest Food Bank in Orange County online at thesocalsound.org/support.
From our open minds to your open ears, 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. This week, I'm excited to bring you a conversation with Nico Case, recorded live at this year's Newport Folk Festival. Wildness is intrinsic to Nico's nature, so it came as no surprise when we last did a live interview at a music festival that a groundhog came to scurry around at our feet. And this time, it was a little bit of a different kind of wildness. Nico got stuck in traffic, and with a crowd waiting at the stage where we were already supposed to be for our live taping, my friend Billy Glassner of Newport Folk Festival came to the rescue, and we took a wild 1.5 mile ride on a golf cart to pick her up from the entrance to Fort Adams State Park, then back to the foundation stage, where we had a fantastic chat for the remaining minutes of our time slot. But less than 10 minutes wasn't nearly enough to catch up on the myriad writing projects Nico is doing these days, writing music for a Broadway musical, writing her first book, writing songs for a new album, and continued writings on her Substack, Entering the Lung. She's also been doing some touring, including recent dates opening for her friends the Indigo Girls, and just a few weeks ago released the vinyl edition of Wild Creatures, a career-spanning double album, which was initially a digital-only release last year. Luckily, Nico was gracious enough to join me backstage to continue our curtailed onstage conversation, and I've brought the two parts together to share with you as we welcome Nico Case as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight.
Yay, hi.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
We just had an adventure, and here we are.
Yes.
Welcome to Shiro's live at Newport, everybody, with special guest Nico Case.
Hello.
On this beautiful morning. Hi, Nico.
Hi. That was exciting.
It was, right?
Yes. We just off-roaded all the way here, and it was pretty good.
Speaking of exciting, you've been having some very exciting times lately. I want to catch up everyone here on what you've been up to, which is many things. Let's see. There's musical happenings.
Yes. I've been working on a musical really hard, and it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's really fun. And we're all hoping that it'll be out next year, so I'm hoping that I can tell you soon, which is the most teasing, dumb thing I've ever said to any people, and I'm sorry. There's some cool stuff I'm doing. I wish I could tell you about it. Sorry. But it's very exciting, and there's some superstars in it, and it's awesome.
What does Nico Case entering the Broadway world feel like?
I always feel like a maladjusted teenage boy who kind of is just like going, whoa, all the time.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it's like. I use my new lingo that I learned, like, well, that's not interstitial dialogue, is it? well, the dramaturgy, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I know a bunch of new words that I'm kind of okay with using, but I basically just figure I'm going to be fired any second and that I should be present and enjoy every moment. Because in the Broadway world, it, like, the turnover is really high and people get fired all the time and rehired. And, you know, you can work on a musical for 7 years and then suddenly it's gone. It's canceled, right. And nobody is going to finance it, or it just didn't do well in the statistics, or I don't know. But so it's really a weird thing to work as hard as you've ever worked on something and knowing that it could just poof into the ether at any second. So it's a character building exercise, I guess. I don't know. But the collaboration part is what's really fantastic. I've never had to collaborate with such a large group of people in such different disciplines. And everybody does each other's job. So it's very well-oiled. And you're basically like in a little bit of a trench where you're like, you tell people about your daily bathroom habits and, you know, you just know everything about each other. So it's really a life-changing experience that possibly no one will ever, ever see or know about.
No, it's going to happen. I know
hope
it
does. I have faith that it will happen. But
yeah. Broadway musicals and just musicals in general, musical films are so polarizing, right? Don't you think that?
Well, yeah. I mean, just like any type of art form, you know, there's stuff that isn't for you.
Yeah.
It's like everybody likes a certain percentage. And then some people are just a huge fan of musical theater, the genre, and really commit themselves to everything.
Yeah.
And meeting people like that has been really,
really,
really fascinating to me, because I'm very snotty about the whole thing, I find.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I've loosened up a lot of my preconceived snottiness, which
That's
has
great.
Felt really, really good. Like,
yeah.
To just let go and not be too cool for something for a second.
Do you guys know about Wild Creatures, Nico Case fans?
It's a large compilation of songs from over the years.
All the years.
Make me sound super old, which seems impossible because I'm so very youthful. I'm kidding. It just encompasses most of my career and also a really small part because I'm in so many bands that it feels complete and incomplete at the same time. So that's maybe where the book would come in and kind of try to tie it all together, I think.
How exciting that you're having so many firsts right now.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, but it's good. Like, I feel very awake and very present for it, and I'm really enjoying that.
Catch life, you look like your mother. Eclipses me some, just right from the side. When you catch life, there's a flash of wild creatures. For the stone age of the preachers and the husbands and the wives.
Nico Case, Shiro's Live at Newport Folk Festival. Welcome back. This is your first time back in how long?
I haven't been here since 2016. And that is the only date I actually remember with any sort of accuracy. Like, I remember when the Case Lang Beers tour was.
Wow.
But that's all I remember with accuracy. So thank you for asking me that question, because I feel super up on my own life and when I was here.
I remember being really excited because I don't think I'd gotten to see Case Lang Beers play yet. And I was like a fangirl. I was like standing side stage. I was like, oh my God, oh my God.
That's what I was doing too. Yeah. I was side stage looking at Katie and Laura like, I can't believe this is happening.
I'm not the freckled man. I'm not the
Case Lang Beers and Atomic Number from their 2016 self-titled debut. It's Shiro's Live at Newport Folk Festival with Nico Case.
Please tell me that that's not a one-off. You guys are going to do something again, right?
Well, we just recorded another song. I don't know that we're going to tour, but I don't know that we're not. But I see them regularly when I'm in Portland and we get together. We enjoy each other, so who knows? But the new song is good and I'm excited about it.
When is it coming out? Can you tell us yet?
I can't because I don't actually know.
Okay.
If I did know, I would tell you right now.
Are you able to share with us how even like a one-off song came together?
Well, it was going to be the, I don't remember what year anniversary it was of the recording, but we wanted to do something for a re-release of the thing on vinyl. So yeah, we were like, let's do a song. Because we missed each other. We missed playing together. And
yeah,
the impetus was just basically like, I want to hang out with you. I want to hang out with you too.
Remind me, were there like taking turns of songwriting, or did you all songwrite together on Case Lang Beers? And then what is this song? Did you co-write?
We did all of the above on the record, every combination of it, but we all worked on every song. And on this one, it started with lyrics, which I sent them, and then they changed the lyrics a bit, and then Laura did like a guitar track for it, and then Katie went and messed with it a bunch, and it's totally what I hoped it would be.
Which is
it was just very velvety and smooth. It's kind of an invite and also a love letter at the same time to the people listening, to people who love music or who actively engage in music in any way, shape, or form. Listening, looking, buying, selling, playing, any of the above.
I feel like one thing I love about you, and there's so many things to love about Nico Case, but I feel like you I will. Thank you. No, but like, I think maybe it's because you are such a huge music fan yourself and always have been, like an uber passionate music fan, that you get what being a fan is, and you haven't forgotten that. So you have a deep appreciation for your own fans, that you would write a song like that that's to them.
Yeah, I've always felt that way. I started learning more long ago about the audience, mine specifically, through the lens of Kelly Hogan and Perception, and she was really helpful. She just was really wise about anxiety about being on stage and your relationship with the audience, and had really profound and simple and creative ways to just imagine them imagining you, and how it's not scary and it's not a big showbiz thing. It's a gentle, compassionate relationship, and I owe her big time for that. She's absolutely my mentor in that regard. Then meeting the Indigo Girls, I think it was at Chicago Theater. And
when was this?
I don't even, it was like so long ago when I lived in Chicago.
Okay.
But Hogan and I went to sing with them, and we were there before the show, obviously, because we've been practiced. And then Michelle Malone was playing the opening set, and the audience was not only accepting her, they were saying like, great job. And I was like, I've never seen an audience that was so there for the Indigo Girls, that they were also there to be into what the Indigo Girls curated their evening to be. They trusted the Indigo Girls, and the Indigo Girls treated them in kind. And it was the most beautiful symbiotic. And I was like, that's the audience I want. So how do you invite people like that? And I was like, well, I have to be the audience. You know, I already feel that way, and I already feel that way about them. You're completing a circuit with the other just as integral parts of the circuit machine. So I think that's why I had to write a book, because I couldn't just sum it up in a few sentences. It's such a huge conversation to have too. I'm like, don't get lost. Don't get lost. You can stay there. But as an audience member, I remember what I didn't like. I remember, you know, seeing bands yelling at people for talking to each other during a set. There was an artist that was opening for someone a long time ago I saw in Vancouver, and she was just berating the audience for talking to each other. And it was like, this is their Friday night too, and they're talking because you've made them relaxed. It's okay. They're not going to listen to every single word that you're saying right now. Mm. Like, they're here for the other band, but they're also here for you. They're standing near the front of the stage, and they're watching you. They're just excited and talking to each other, and, you know, everybody's Friday night is as important as anybody else's. Like, it could be like the place you meet your future partner. You know, you take your sibling to their first ever show.
Right.
You meet your best friend. Like, you get your heart broken. Like, it's such a huge deal. And the music show that you go to is one of the only truly local and independent specific places you can be that isn't a strip mall. It's like one of the only thing that makes a really unique marker of your neighborhood or your community at that time.
Right.
So it's such a sacred but
should be relaxed place to be.
And it's so interesting. You're talking about Venn in the context of the things you learned and that show with the Indigo Girls and observing how they cultivated that. I think about it now. When else do we get to experience music communally? Because it used to be, right, as a radio person, I'm like, we used to always be experiencing music together in real time at the same time.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, some people still listen to the radio, thank God, but like, there's a lot of people that just experience music in an isolated way until they go to see someone perform.
Yes. And you realize it's very different and you realize, oh my God, I'm part of the circuit that makes this electricity.
Yes.
And if you can get people to feel comfortable enough, to feel vulnerable enough, or just off guard enough to feel that, mm-hmm. it changes your life. Like,
totally.
I love going into a club unexpected. I remember working on songs for Worst Things Get, and I was in Athens, Georgia. We were rehearsing the songs, and Alabama Shakes were playing the Athens Theater, you know? And so we went, and Brittany opened her mouth, and tears just... I was laughing and crying at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it was a dam breaker that I really needed. I tried to tell her that once, and I just cried a bunch. She's like, it's okay, lady, you don't need to cry. And I'm like, yep, I'm that dork. But
yeah,
it really came at the right time. And that's one of many moments I've had like that.
You know?
So I could have gotten that from the first time I ever heard their record. And I probably would have, but I saw that performance before I heard the record for the first time.
Which is kind of the best.
It was insane. And I love the record too.
Yeah.
But it's like a Polaroid that is like the chapter page of a part of my life.
Yes.
And it filled me with kind of a hope and inspiration I really needed because I was feeling pretty low. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what music feels like.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Thank you, Alabama Shakes. Thank you, Brittany Howard, you know?
And
it's wonderful.
And I'll say that since we're at Newport, I hear from artists that perform here, that's part of what draws them back to coming here because they get to be fans as well as performers,
right.
You know, and it's so collaborative and mm-hmm. it's so like communal and it reconnects them with why they originally became artists to begin with, because it's easy to lose that thread when you're just in the day-to-day of your business and the cycle and the touring and the This is a real pause, reconnect that. And you're doing some collaboration while you're here this week. And you're not even here doing a set. You're like here to collaborate.
I'm just catting around.
Can you tell us anything about the Los Lobos thing that you're about to do or what
I'm going
like to
go up and do a few songs with them. I've been good friends with Steve Berlin for a very long time and a huge Los Lobos fan for most of my life. I think that they are quite possibly the most American band there is.
Yeah.
And they're some magical creatures.
Yeah.
Los Lobos.
How did you and Steve Berlin first meet? Do you remember?
We have a lot of mutual friends in the Northwest.
Okay.
And I know I met Steve a long time ago that way, but I don't remember exactly how. But he's a delightful human being. He's played on a lot of my records, and, you know, I love him.
Clouds say hush, but the chainsaws mush on to Custer and Columbia. Salty tentacles shrink in the sun, but the red tide is over. The
Red Tide from 2009's Middle Cyclone and featuring Steve Berlin of Los Lobos on saxophone. This is She Rose Live at Newport Folk Festival with Nico Case. Also thinking about your background in punk and the other side of that audience artist dynamic, if you're a woman, if you're a female person or a marginalized person, how that also like adds a different dimension into the experience and how punk had to fight for space for us. You had to fight for space for us. It was a very male-dominated space, and the audience was very male-dominated.
Yeah, there was a time kind of in the punk rock scene in the mid to late 80s that was super masculine. And, you know, I lived in the Pacific Northwest where, you know, it's just military base after military base. So, you know, military dudes kind of caught on, and they were like, this is where we're going to go fight, you know, and then meth was becoming a thing. And there was also a lot of Nazis So that was a good time. Like super aggro, skinhead, white dudes. We didn't really have the suede head, you know, two-tone ska, skinhead situation where I lived, unfortunately. It was not an inclusive good time. It was a everybody but us time in a lot of ways. Yeah. And, you know, my friend Jim May, who ran the punk rock club where I hung out a lot, Community World Theater, he fought against them, but he also tried to change people's minds too. He was really a phenomenal person in that regard. And, you know, I lived right next door to Riot Girl when it was happening. I wasn't as evolved. I wasn't ready. I didn't understand myself at all. And I was still just fighting, but not fighting with a focus yet. And I wrote about this in my book. I think one of the reasons that, you know, Riot Girl really got a foot in, like, was able to really have, and this is just me, like, from a ways away noticing, is like, you could get pretty much everywhere in Olympia on foot. It was so easy to, like, hang out with everybody. Tacoma, you could not. It was really hard to, like, organize in that way.
Right.
Like, you had to, you know, see if you could get a ride, take the bus. Like, everything was really far apart. There was no centralized anything. Whereas Olympia was very centralized in a really good way. And that must have helped. I've always kind of wanted to ask Kathleen about that, because
yes,
it's got to be why. Because every time I went there, I was just like, yeah, this is the best. This is easy, you know? But I didn't have friends who were like out front of what they were fighting for yet, the way those women were. We were just still fighting. So that kind of enlightenment didn't come to me later. And I kind of just had to figure it out for myself. You know, there was really good stuff about the scene in Olympia and Riot Girl. But then there were people in Olympia who were big f-. And so there was a point where it was really fun to be there. And I had lots of friends, to the point where you'd go somewhere and try to talk to people and people would just look at you and not say anything back. Like you were a piece of shit. So I was like, is this a Tacoma thing? Because I know that people look down on us. And they did. People really, really looked down on people from Tacoma. Even people who thought they were pretty open-minded. But I was friends with a few people that were in the Riot Girl movement and really adored them. And I just didn't move at the same speed they did. I wasn't quite there yet. I was a child, you know. I didn't have any parents or anything. I was kind of still just a little too feral. I wasn't whole yet. Whole enough to go, what's my objective here? How can I better fight for this? This thing that I feel, but I can't quite describe yet. I wasn't able to describe it yet, but they were.
And so when you talked about your relationship with your audience and cultivating what you saw at the Indigo Girls, which is like such a world away from punk and Riot Girl anyway. I mean, I guess with the Indigo Girls, you're also talking about queer spaces, which is a whole other, you know?
Yep.
So there's also the issue of safety between artist and fan, and like when you're a woman being objectified and that whole dynamic, and then engaging with your art. It's like so complicated. Like, we could just do an hour talking about this.
We can talk about this as long as you want, because it's something I think about all the time, constantly. And I don't know, it's always on my mind. And, you know, I've always been adjacent to queer space and in queer space since I was a kid. And I would say I'm a bisexual woman, but I've never been in a long-term relationship with a woman. So I've never had to do the kind of fighting. So I've never claimed that for myself out loud, really, because I feel like since I had been in relationships with men, pretty much the long-term ones, that there was a safety I enjoyed that I wouldn't have been able to enjoy or just take for granted. But I was there and wanted to do the best for everyone that I could. And I feel that really heavily now. I remember we had a really beautiful moment on the K-Slang Beers Tour. Our first show, I think, was like 2 days after the Orlando shooting. And I was really afraid. I was really apprehensive. And I was like, I don't want people to come for us, you know? Is this going to happen everywhere now? And I remember getting on stage, and Katie Lang has a similar fan base too to the Indigo Girls. Like, you know, 200 lesbians rushed to the front of the stage, absolutely unafraid and filled with joy. And I wept my eyes out. It was so hard to get through those songs because I was just like, this is what making space is. This is what it is.
Yes.
Like, and this is what we're not doing now. This is what we're not doing now that we need to be doing. Like, it's very much like trying to get straight white men to stick up for women and they and them everywhere, you know? They're not doing it. They're not showing up. And it's like, just like everybody else isn't showing up for queer, LGBTQIA, people of color. And it's disheartening because it's not because we don't love and we don't care. It's because we're just numb and comfortable, I guess. And I don't know how anybody can feel comfortable. I think I just have too much prickly in my body or too much something. But what if my circumstances change and my partner is a woman someday, or my daughter, you know, what does this world look like for her? And, you know, I have friends in Florida who have children who are trans who are moving away, like from their homes. They live their whole life there and they feel very unsafe and ready for violence, and there's threats they're going to go to jail. It's just like, this is what we're focusing on? This is the most horrendous. I've read so much about history, and especially World War II, like what happened right before World War II. This is exactly what the Nazis did. They rounded people up and they did a litmus test, like, what can we get away with? Let's start with queer people, because that's pretty easy to turn people against queer people. It's a pretty religious atmosphere. Let's try them out, you know? Being first in line for the chopping block every time, like, I'm not there, but I can see it from here. And what it does to me, that next several levels of deepness and darkness, I can't imagine. And it already fills me with such terror and sadness. And, you know, I don't know what to say about that other than that's where we are.
Well, you were just out on the road with the Indigo Girls.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of sadness.
Absolutely. I mean,
and so on the other side of that, what was that like? And did you have that same feeling as you described before of being in that space?
I felt super protective and super excited and super honored to be asked as an ally to be part of Pride in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It was a huge deal that I am not taking for granted. And I just was like, God, I hope nothing goes wrong. I hope nobody targets this as something. And, you know, everything went off fine. And they, of course, were graceful and laid back and as welcoming as they always are.
They're amazing.
And the audience was fantastic. And there's just so many feelings and so many emergencies that happen inside you.
Yeah.
And I worry about everyone. Like, I worry about the audience. Like, I hope nobody hurts anybody in the audience. I hope everybody finds parking. Like, I'm just, I don't know.
It's so fascinating and fun, as you were just kind of touched on earlier, new experiences that you're having lately, being involved with the Broadway world and musicals, what that's like. And I also happen to know from talking to Anais Mitchell and Ingrid Michaelson that Broadway's still so male-dominated. It's crazy. Women writing musicals is still very...
Yeah.
It's like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction.
Yeah.
And when I first heard that you were doing that, I was like, yes! Talk about the right person to be subverting that, I feel.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And we have an all-female team with the exception of one man who is my favorite. And we're an incredibly capable team who works really well together. And it's kind of the first thing in our lives. I hope we get this to where it's supposed to go. Like, we definitely kill our darlings constantly for the betterment of what the project is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it feels good. It hurts for a second.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we stand around arguing really loud with each other. And then it's like, oh, it's lunchtime. Okay, I'll buy today. You know what I mean? Like, it's like such a comfortable
place,
right,
you can actually spar and fight for something or an idea. You know, 5 minutes later, it's like, it's not personal. It's
right.
about ideas. Or if somebody else is fighting, I can sit right underneath them and
right.
between them at the table and work on lyrics while they're doing it and just tune it out.
Like, amazing.
It feels so good and not charged with a negative energy whatsoever. It's really super healthy. It's like, yay, discourse.
That is
bring it.
Amazing. And it'll be so fun to catch up with you, I don't know, a year from now to see what this whole experience has brought into Nico Case land. When you go back into the next album cycle and what kind of a lens you see everything through now that all this information has filtered in.
Well, I've always thought of things very cinematically. And so a musical was not a faraway step.
Yeah.
But it's still a world I've never been in. I'd only ever seen one musical in my life, which was Book of Mormon, which I did like. But I didn't know anything about it. And they were like, that's why we want you to do it. I was like, okay, well, it's your funeral. You know what you signed up for. You can fire me at any time. And they're like, we know.
My God.
It's good.
It's great. I can't wait for it to come out. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for all the things that are coming out. Wild Creatures, I just got my vinyl in the mail the other day. Everybody should go get the vinyl copy of Wild Creatures.
That's all about Laura Plansker's artwork. She's the man.
Oh, Shadowless, let's get this done. Sandman is coming, but it's taking too long. Gonna make your bed.
Oh, Shadowless, a new song by Nico Case, which closes her new retrospective collection, Wild Creatures. I'm Carmel Holt.
What is next as far as your own music? Are you also working on some new
Yes,
Nico
I
Case
have about,
music?
About 10 songs right now. We go into the studio in September, and I'm recording it all in my own studio, which is really exciting. My partner Jeff and I will be doing it with lots of the usual suspects and some new ones too.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for rescuing me. Thanks, you guys.
Thank
for
you
waiting.
For being here for it.
So sweet.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Nico Case for being with us live at Newport Folk Festival. The double vinyl edition of Wild Creatures is out now on Anti Records. Special thanks to Billy Glasner, Director of Partnerships and Archivist of the Newport Folk and Jazz Festivals, for the golf cart rescue. Deep gratitude to Newport Folk Festival for including Shiro's on the festival lineup this year. Visit newportfestivals.org for more. Next, we close the hour with a song by another Shiro who played Newport this year. It's a guest DJ pick from this week's Radio Shiro, Jet of 88.5 SoCal in Los Angeles, when Shiro's Radio continues.
Safe in a dream. Oh, Shadowless, I'm just too small to know where you are going, but I feel you still.
Music chosen by humans, not algorithms. This is the SoCal Sound.
It's Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. Happy 65th birthday, August 17th, to Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's.
Nothing was too real.
1981's Beauty and the Beat, Our Lips Are Sealed by the Go-Go's, wishing frontwoman Belinda Carlisle a very happy birthday on August 17th. I'm Carmel Holt, and each week I love to turn the mic and the music over to a fellow Radio Shiro to close the hour. And this week it's Jet of 88.5, the SoCal Sound in Los Angeles.
The song I selected is called Joy Revolution. It's by Ray Zaragoza featuring Milk, and it's off her upcoming album called Hold That Spirit that comes out August 11th. And this song, Joy Revolution, is really about finding radical joy and creating radical joy within yourself. You don't need anyone else to really do it. You can choose to be happy and do things that make you happy. And I just love that. And I love Ray as a person. She's wonderful. One of the most positive people I've ever met. So I wanted to select this song to bring some joy to everyone else. This is Ray Zaragoza on Shiro's Radio.
I want to stand on a hill and sing at the top of my lungs. I want to dance, tell my tales, cry, run, do whatever I want. I want to join the joy revolution. Whatever I want, I want to join the joy revolution.
Ray Zaragoza and Joy Revolution, a guest DJ pick from this week's Radio Shiro, Jet of 88.5, the SoCal Sound in Los Angeles. Thanks to you for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake, and our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the Shiro's podcast, featuring our Shiro's interviews on the Talkhouse Podcast Network, available everywhere you get your podcasts, and keep in touch. Visit shirosradio.com. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at Shiro's Radio on Instagram and Twitter. Until next time, remember that music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
long and I won't have to use my fists when I've been drinking.